I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. All right, time now for a return visit from Taylor Ann Bradford, Gloucester Daily Times journalist. Taylor, welcome back.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Rick. I appreciate it.
I love these get-togethers. Every 2 weeks I get to get caught up on stuff that I either miss or don't take the time to do. So I appreciate it. So much going on right now on Cape Ann and particularly in Gloucester with respect to, contentiousness, I guess. But I'd like to ask you, because it's close to my neighborhood, about what's going on at the Cape Ann Marina. I haven't had a chance to read today's story in the Times. But maybe you can enlighten me a little?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, this narrative has been going on since the fall of 2019, right? Tobin Dominick of Dominick's Holdings announced that they were going to be constructing an indoor storage unit for boats, and it would take about 2 to 3 years. It's a 34,320 square foot, quite tall building. Over by the Causeway Restaurant in Gloucester Cinema Building at 99A Essex Avenue. This project, speaking with Tobin 2 days ago, and she's talking about, how a project like this is really vital, because a lot of boats that come here to our seaport over the winter actually have to leave Gloucester to find storage because they're just too big and being stored, outside in the weather that we have, such as today, right? It's super snowy. It can damage the boats. And so to have an indoor storage like this that's temperature controlled is really valuable and a great way of not only assisting those for recreational and commercial boating, but also as we look at jobs, as we look at kind of keeping things local. And so that was a big piece to why this project is so important from the marina's point of view. But a lot of residents have been kind of having an uproar about the height of the building. The height of the building, from the peak height of the new building, is about 53.5 feet, with an eave height, which is the measurement from the bottom of the base plate to the point where the sidewall and the roof intersect, is 49 feet. So the ultimate height is almost 54 feet, and so a lot of people are concerned that that's going to obstruct views, that that's going to kind of take away from the what makes Gloucester Gloucester, which is right the incredible views of the sea, of kind of our city and what it means and what it looks like for so many years. So that's kind of the back and forth, and there's a lot of intricacies behind kind of both parties' perspectives, and there's been petitions made by residents to kind of show the city council that this is a bad project, and Tobin and her company have really outlined on their website kind of explaining why this is necessary, why this is important, and how they've really tried to make sure to meet all the requirements and do it the right way, doing all the research and putting the time and the money in to make sure that this is something that assists not only the boaters, but also is to be a good neighbor, right, to the residents who are nearby. But it's not an uncommon story here in Gloucester. This is something that I'm realizing more, Rick, as I report in the city, is, right, this tension between new buildings and residents. And so many residents, say, I think I have to move because of these building projects. And I think that's a story in itself what residents see when they move into the city. Yeah. Or if they've lived here their whole life, what does a view mean to them? And from my reporting, it seems like it means a whole lot.
Well, you're a quick study, Taylor Ann, because a few years ago when Cruiseport came into Gloucester, there was a hem and hew about that on the waterfront down there. And then they built a hotel over in an industrial zone. But there were also neighbors over there, and there was a great to-do about that. And now we're going to get on to a couple of other stories here in a second. So, yeah, it's very common. But to me, as an outsider, and I don't know if this is a fair question or not, but in terms of the Cape Ann Marina or any other building for that matter, if it's zoned for business and there are and they're within the height restrictions, then they can do what they want.
Right, yeah, and that's the thing is that, Tobin outlined is so many of the requirements or the city ordinances they've met, right? They're applying for about 3 special permits.
Mm-hmm.
And one is that height ordinance, right? The exceeding the height ordinance within the city. But everything has been kind of still within the parameters of what the city has put in place. And so as developers and people wanting to build different things come in or are from the inside, looking to build inside their own homes and areas, it's still interesting to think about the perspectives of abutters and neighbors and kind of, they're feeling that what the city has put in place as legal right is still not right to them.
I get it. Not in my backyard type thing on the one hand. But then on the other hand, we have so many new projects going on the North Shore and certainly in Gloucester. Another bone of contention, I guess, is the new apartment complex that has replaced what was St. Peter's High School and then the Fuller School. And that project, if you go up there, it looks like a city unto itself already. So what's the update on that?
Right. So Dolben Company, Inc., which has offices both in Massachusetts and Maryland, are now leasing 200 apartments in that spot. So, right, what once was Fuller Elementary School is now apartment buildings. And they are quite a stark contrast, I think, to the rest of the city, of what you see when you see, when you think of Gloucester or Cape Ann. But they still do have that tie, of that kind of tone of the sea, right? They're called Halyard is the name of the apartment complexes. And, we all know what Halyards are, right? Like pulling up and hoisting up the ropes that hoist up, sails for boats and, it's very up and coming and very, I would say, hip, is the style of this place. They have a communal area with a fitness center and lots of different amenities for the public, for those who live there. Now that they're leasing the 200 apartment units with about 80% of those, 30 units being rented to 80% of an area median income, the question is just who's going to be filling up those spots? Who's going to be moving into the city, or is it going to be locals? Is it going to be people who, work outside of the city but live here? So the question is who's going to be moving in? But yeah, those apartments, while they're not going to be ready until April 1st, are now ready for leasing, which I think is an exciting thing for the company, and I'm really curious to see their relationship with the new Cape Ann Y right across the street and the Gloucester Crossing right up the hill.
And in relation to that, the new Cape Ann Y means they're going to be vacating the old Cape Ann Y, and that means, I think I read it in your article, I'm not sure, but that means new affordable housing for older people, perhaps, in downtown Gloucester?
Correct, yeah, because this Halyards is not the only building project or apartment project happening in the city. I feel like there's at least 3 or 4 happening all at once here in the city, which is going to provide a ton of housing for a lot of people. And again, that question is who's moving in? But we have, as the Cape Ann Y moves over to next to Gloucester Crossing, we see that Middle Street property going to be turned into, 44 affordable apartments for seniors, 62 and older. And then just down the street from Middle Street, we're going to see the Harbor Village apartment complex on Main Street, which is going to have 30 residential rental units made available for housing. So there's a lot of different things going on, and I'm sure there's more to come. But it's all about, I think, trying to find that balance of both being able to provide residential areas here in the city, but I know that a lot of people are concerned about making this place a bedroom community and not having a thriving economy from businesses and industrial businesses going on in the city. So I think it's an interesting balance that a lot of those conversations have been having currently as they try to navigate what it looks like to both provide apartments and housing, but also have a thriving economy in the era and time we live in now, which is very, very rocky at times. So
it seems like to me, though, a good model is Beverly, because Rantoul Street, downtown Beverly, was a wreck not that many years ago, and it looks great now, and there's plenty of housing there as well. And it seems to me, I thought this is going to be weird, but it looks great, at least from a visiting from a visitor standpoint.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Beverly is my hometown. It's where I grew up. And To see that shift and change, it's quite stark. But yeah, you're right. Beverly is beautiful, and it brings in a lot of people. And I know a lot of young people coming out of college. Beverly is where they have their first stop because it is just a great, affordable place to live in some parts. Other places, maybe it's a little bit pricey, but it has cultured a great community in the downtown Beverly area. So, yeah, curious to see what it looks like in Gloucester as we see these units being filled.
Well, there are a couple of schools that are closing in the not-too-distant future, and they're supposed to be we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, too. They're supposed to be consolidated at the Veterans School, which is near the 128 extension in Gloucester. And, we were looking at the temporary housing for the students and so on. But there's another twist to this. I think it's Patty Amaral, I believe. I talked with her probably a couple of months ago now, has been leading the charge to save Meadows Field. And you have an update on that.
I do, yeah. It feels like the combined school project discussion will be forever a conversation starter for the next couple of months, maybe years, maybe 10 years, who knows. the most latest recent update with the combined school project is that Patty Amaral and a group of other residents in the city are suing both the Massachusetts School Building Authority, the state's Office of Energy and Environmental Affairs, and the city of Gloucester over a multitude of charges or claims that they have made, saying that the school's consolidation, their school consolidation irregularities, open space access problems, and environmental injustice. And so kind of based off of those three things, they're stating that the city and these other two entities are in the wrong for getting rid of Meadows Field at the current location on 11 Webster Street to put in the new combined school. And so if we know that spot, right, that's the site of current Veterans Elementary School, and Meadows Field is a beloved ballpark by so many. And while the city has plans to construct a new softball field at Green Street to replace Meadows Field, I think for these softball players and other residents, it's really the memorial of just as Meadows and kind of the legacy he left behind and kind of what this ballpark means to them, and they've put so much effort to restore the lights and the memories put there. And so they have done their research, and there's quite the lawsuit in the works as of right now. And yeah, curious to see what this legal battle, how it goes down and what it looks like. But as of right now, they're making a multitude of claims saying that the school department was in violation for a couple different instances, and that the conversations between Gloucester, the EEA, and the MSBA failed in their legal duties to protect the environment by engaging in irresponsible project development and oversight. So there's a lot there. I feel like we could talk about the whole lawsuit over a course of an hour or so. And so I'd just say advise people to go to our website and see the attached lawsuit and our article that kind of gives a longer summary. So it is still a little bit detailed, but a longer summary of just about the intricacies about, you know, why they filed a lawsuit against these three entities. And it'll be, yeah, I'm curious to see how it turns out. And how the city responds in the coming weeks.
Well, as always, we're going to link to your articles, and so that can be fleshed out, and I invite everyone to take a look at the Gloucester Times online or buy the hard copy and so on. And Taylor, I know that it's been fun following your columns, and I know that you're busy on other stuff, so is there anything else you might want to mention?
If you guys can get outside in the beautiful snow this weekend, so we will not be having a trail column this week as I work on some magazine pieces that we will be doing for Cape Ann Magazine, which will be coming out in March. We're very excited about those stories. Some of them you've seen before in our paper, and they're just going to be fleshed out with some really beautiful photos from our photographers. But yeah, as of right now, just go enjoy the snowshoe, look for some birds. It might be chilly outside, but doesn't mean it's not beautiful.
This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.